I've been in student ministry now for 24 years. 24 years I've been in student ministry. And if I was to, jump in a DeLorean and go back in time and change anything or give myself some advice in student ministry, I would really tell myself and encourage myself to lean into family ministry more. I really would. I would have said, being cool is fun. Having pizza party and by the way, Ryan, you're going to eat a lot of pizza in your time. But lean into the family ministry because man, that's where the bread and butter is. Because we see that in Scripture, we see that right at the beginning. And so this morning, like RC said, we're starting a new series called Habits of the Household. And I'm really excited about this because I think wherever you are, whether you have kids in your home, you're an empty nester, you've had kids that have left, you have grandkids that you're raising, if you're a foster parent, wherever you are in this journey, I think God has some amazing things to tell us in His Word about parenting. And so this morning, I'm not talking at you, all right? I want you to understand, I'm not talking at you. I'm talking to you and with you. Because as we see God's word and we see this in Deuteronomy, this is for us. This is for us as a church. This is for us as a family. And so when we look at this, I think for a lot of ministers, I've seen this a lot of times in their lives, that their calling trumps their family ministry. And that's not the case. That can't be the case. Whether you're a minister, whether you're a pastor, whether you're an elder, whether you're a layperson, whether you're a lawyer, wherever you're, your family has to be your first priority. We're going to talk about that today, and we see that through God's word. And so when you think about when you grew up, now, if you were like me, you grew up in the best era of time, which was the 90s, amen. Like, I love the 90s. I was born in 1982, and some of you are looking like, man, that guy's 42. I appreciate it. And and I don't have the muscles as RC, but I got the better hair. So, but, when I think about growing up, we would say that, man, being a teenager nowadays or a kid nowadays is really hard, right? I mean, we say that because we know what a time was like without the internet. You remember that? Wasn't it awesome? It was awesome. We were watching a show the other night, and someone pulled out a pager. And I was like, yeah, I remember that. Let's go. And so we remember these times, but parenting nowadays seems to be so tough. It seems so hard. The pressures of our kids, the face all the time. It's a big deal. And so if we were to think back, though, the struggles and the temptations and the pressures that kids feel now are not much different than what we felt. Alcoholism, sex, pornography, all that stuff, that it was still around, but the difference is the access to it, right? I mean, they have the access to it. And so how do we navigate these things? How do we navigate this era, this culture, as parents, as we lean into this? Well, I think the only way we can do that is to look at what the Scripture says. Go back to God's Word. God's Word is true. It's right. It's written for us, and it's applicable to us even today in 2024. And so when we think about this, as we dive into the habits of the household, today, think of today as kind of setting the foundation as we build this house. We're going to set the foundation of what a biblical household should look like. And so if we lay this down, we would think, okay, this is your role, your biblical role as a parent. What is it? And how do we operate in this? And so that's the foundational level, because our biblical role as parents is to be the primary disciplers of our children. That's our primary role. That's our number one goal, to point to Christ and everything that He's done for us. And so that's our role. And so as we look at this, we think, how do we do that? How do we properly do that in today's culture? How do we lean into this when the world's saying to do the absolute opposite of what the Bible says? Well, if we were to go back to Deuteronomy 6, so if you have your Bibles, I want to go ahead and turn and encourage you to turn to Deuteronomy 6. We're going to see what Moses tells us, inspired by God, on how we can lean in to properly disciple our children. our children. And let me say this, parents, moms and dads, grandparents, let me say this. Your role as a parent, your role as the primary discipler of your children is the most important role of your child's life. I want to say that one more time. Your role as the primary disciple of your child or your children is the most important role in your child's life. And we're going to dialogue about that today. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to kind of unpack that foundational level. And over the next few weeks, we're going to kind of build some walls practically around this house. RC and I are going to walk through this. And I'm really excited about this series for us as a church. I really am. Because I think if we can get these things down, God's going to continue to do some awesome things as a body of Christ. Amen? And so if you have turned there to Deuteronomy chapter 6, go ahead and stand in honor of God's word. We're going to look at the first few verses. We're going to start in verse 4, and we're going to go through verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be a frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. This scripture is a familiar text known as the Shema. The Shema. So if you're taking notes, it's known as the Shema. Shema literally is translated hear, hear. So as we think about this, I love the book of Deuteronomy. I just finished it a couple of weeks ago in my reading plan. And I love the book of Deuteronomy because it's recapping everything that the Hebrews have walked through. And Moses is trying to share everything he can to say, this is where we are, or this is where we were, this is where we're going, and trying to set up the next generation of Hebrews as they're about to walk into the promised land. And so he's really kind of setting the stage as he's like saying, if there's anything I can tell you before I leave, before you go in, man, this is some things that I don't want you to miss. I mean, these words are powerful, and they're said through Moses. Moses is saying this through the inspired Holy Spirit that God is speaking through him to the Israelites because he wants them to understand these things, and I think it applies to us today. I don't just think that. I know it applies to us today. Because if we can grasp these verses, man, this is where it's, man, this the foundation is going to be set. And you'll hear me say that because if the foundation is off, I mean, you think about this as someone who's built, building houses, or if you built a house before, if the foundation is off on a house, the walls are going to be off square and they're not going to be off center. It's not going to stand. And because a strong wind is just going to topple it over. None of us want to live in a house like that, right? In our Christian households, in our biblical households, if these foundations aren't set, I'm telling you, if these foundations aren't set, a strong wind, a problem, an issue that comes our way is going to be able to push us over. I don't want that for you. I don't want that for me. And so as we look at this text this morning, man, I want to pull some truths out of this text that are going to help us understand how to be biblical disciplers in this household. So number one, for us to be biblical disciplers, have these biblical habits in our household, us as parents, we must know God. We must know God. Look at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now, I kind of geek out on texts, and I like to look back at the meaning of words, and I like to look at what the meanings of Scripture means. In this particular text here, it says, the Lord our God. This, the Lord is Elohim. Elohim. That's not a word that we use a lot, but it is Elohim. And this is the plural word for God. This is the triune attribute of God, the three in one God. There's no one like him. And Moses is setting the scene and saying, look, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There's no one like this. Triune God is one. The first mention of Elohim was found in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, the triune God, created the heavens and the earth. And so he's pointing back to let us and let the Israelites understand that there is only one God. There's going to be a lot of other little g gods that are going to be floating around here. You're going to hear these murmurings, but there is only one God. And Moses gets really specific here. He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And I love that he says Israel here. I love that he says, hear, O Israel. It's almost as though he's talking so specific that he could say, hear, O Justin. Hear, O Mark. Hear, O Rebecca. Hear, O Ryan. Hear, O Megan. Hear, O RC. Why? Because God, Elohim, knows you. He knows you as a parent. He knows you as a person. He created you. You are made in the image of God. And if you are saved, you are his son. You are his daughter. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But he knows not just about you, he knows you. And that's comforting. It's comforting to know that Elohim, he knows us. He wants the best for us, and he wants us to succeed through him and him alone. You know, when my wife and I, you go through the naming process of your kids. You know, you remember that. You have these children, and we named our kids Lily, Lucy, and Eli. Our kids were, it was an interesting way our kids were named. You know, Lily, we had Lily picked out, and we're in the doctor's office, and I'm looking at that board that has all the names on it. You remember, you know, the board with all the pictures on it. And I'm like, oh, there's all these babies. And I was like, and there was one named Addison. I was like, man, that's a really pretty name. Lily Addison. That's really awesome. Lily Addison. That's got a good ring to it. Sounds really good. Lily Addison. That's really good. And so we're telling everybody, right? We're excited. And Megan calls her sister and she said, we got a name, Lily Addison. And she starts laughing. Lily, what are you laughing at? She said, Lily Addison, kind of like Billy Madison. And I'm like, it sounds so good. Sounds so good. We're naming Lucy and we're riding down the road and we asked Lily, hey, what should we name your sister? You know, she's coming. We don't have a name. She's like, Lucy. That works. Lucy Garrett. All right. So, and then we already knew Elijah. We knew Elijah Ryan. That's what we wanted. But, you know, with Lily, you know, we have those nicknames for our kids. Lily is Lily Bug for us. Lucy Sunshine. Her name means light, and that's what she is. Eli, I don't know where this came from. I call him Clyde. I have no clue where it came from, but I call him Clyde. But when they hear those names, they know their daddy's around. When I say Sunshine, Lucy will turn around. Clyde, I could be in a crowded room. Clyde, he's looking for me. But that's what God did to Jacob. God changed his name to Israel. And that's what God does to us when he saves us. You go from lost to found. You go from being blind to being able to be seen or be able to see. You go from sinner to saint all through Jesus. And so when we read this morning, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He wants us to understand, look, in your life, if God has saved you, if he has changed your name, if God looks at you and sees his son Jesus, it's all through God. It all starts and ends with him, Elohim. And the question before, just right off the bat, do you know him? Do you know God? Because if you don't know God, let me tell you, man, we want you to know him above anything else, above anyone else, above any other name. We want you to know who God is and how much he loves you and has a plan for not just you, but your families. But that's the foundation. I mean, there's no God like him. And he's speaking, Moses is speaking to the Israelites because he knows that the Egyptians are following false gods, these little g gods. They're following animals. I mean, there's a hippo god and a beetle god and all these other shapes that represent other things. And he's going, man, you're going to see these things. You're going to come against these things. But do not fall into the trap to think that this God is real. I love football. I love watching football. I love playing football for a few minutes. And I love football. I love wearing, you know, I had to wear my red and black today. Like, I love football. Football, it's a fun activity, but football makes a lousy God. Think about money, working hard, doing your best, being at the office day in and day out for over hours and hours and hours. Man, that's great to have a lot of money and be secure. Money makes a lousy God. So in our lives today, we have to understand these things and what Moses is telling the Israelites, these things are fleeting. These things won't last. The only thing that will last is Elohim, the one true God. There's no one like him. There'll never be anyone like him, past, present, future. So today, we must worship him. We must know who he is. When we think about this in our family's lives, is God set apart in our family? Do we know him in our families? Is he set apart, or is there something else that's set up in the pedestal of our homes? Is God in the center, or is he just kind of moved for the next trophy that might come and be set in place? The next thing that we might worship, and we say, that's not that big of a deal, but it is. It is. So God has got to be in his proper place because he stands alone. There is no one like him. And dads, let me just go ahead and say this. This starts with you. God's given us the opportunity. God's given us the responsibility to step up and lead our families. He's called us to do that. So, dads, it starts with you. If God is not set apart in your household, I want to ask you, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? My prayer is that today we'll see through God's word. We can do some things about it. But it starts with us. So you single moms, listen, I know you're doing the best you can. Keep pointing to Jesus. Keep pointing to Jesus. Keep pointing to Jesus. Our households have got to have the foundation of God and God alone. He has to be our first priority. He has to be for our first priority to know him. To know him. But we don't just know God. We don't just know him. For us to be the primary disciples of our home and have these habits on an ongoing basis, we must love God. We must love God. Let's think about this. Look at verse 5. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. To know God is to love God. Let me say that one more time. To know God is to love God. If you know God, you know what he's done for you, you can't help but love him. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you say, don't raise your hand, just think about this for a second. Would you say that you love God with all your heart, soul, and might? Most of us would say, yeah. But do we really? Do we? If we were to do an inventory, Psalm 139, I read that the other day in my quiet time, you know, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and see, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. If God was to just x-ray our hearts, Would it be like we love God with some of our hearts? Just a little portion of our hearts? And if that's the case, man, we need to understand what God has done for us. And at the very least, look at the verse. You shall love the Lord your God. So many times we skip past that to y'all, your heart, soul, and might, but it starts with loving God. And let me just simply ask, do you love God this morning? Do you love God? And you might think, okay, what in the world does this have to do with parenting? Why are we setting the foundation with this morning? Well, look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, it'll be on the screen. It's verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent a spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Why is this important? Because God has adopted us as his children if we know him in Christ. Let me say that one more time. I don't know if my microphone's on. God has adopted us as sons through Christ. Because that's what he's done. We have direct access to our Heavenly Father. We don't have to walk up to our Heavenly Father and wait for him to put his phone down. We don't have to walk up and he knocks on the door of our office and he go, hold on just one second. No, we have direct access. That veil was torn from top to bottom when Jesus died on the cross. We are his sons. We are his daughters through Christ. And so it starts with love. It starts with love. And I think we can know a lot about God. Listen to what R.C. Sproul says. I love this. The word of God can be in the mind without being in the heart. But it cannot be in the heart without first being in the mind. Listen, the heart can't love something that the mind doesn't know. So before we can get it here, we need to understand what God has done for us. The gravity of our sin and the nature of what Christ has done for us, that we're adopted in him, then that bleeds over to everything that we do, everything that we say, of being parents. And building these habits of the household, this foundational level. And I love what Moses says. He's like, I'm not just going to tell you that you just need to love God, but how do you love God? Well, you love him with all your heart, soul, and might. What's it mean to love God with all your heart? That's how we feel about God. That's how we feel about God. What he's done, it moves us. It moves us. What about our soul? It's our being that it just oozes out of us. That people look at you and they see Christ. And our might, what do we do for the kingdom? Because of what Jesus has done, it's an overflow of what we do. And so we need to love God. And how do we love him? We love him through all our heart, soul, and might. And as we disciple our children, as we're bringing them up in Christ, the only way to do this is to point them to God. Amen. We're going to talk about that. It's hard not to get ahead of the game here because there's so much meat in this. But we have to point to God. I think about this. How do we do this? Just a little bit. Husbands, but do your children see you love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for them? Wives, do your children see you submitting to your husbands in a godly manner? Do your children see you spending time with the Father? Do they know that you read your Bible? Do they know that you pray? Do they watch you? I mean, my dad got saved. I got saved when I was 9 years old. And my dad got saved 6 months after. I'll tell you that story another time. But my dad got saved 6 months after I got saved. So he and I spiritually grew up together. It was pretty awesome. But I'll never forget a day after my dad got saved coming downstairs and not seeing him reading his Bible on the couch. I can't remember a time where that didn't happen. That so impacted my life that there's a spot in my house where I read my Bible every day in the hopes that not just me spending time with God, that my children see that in me as well. Do your children see you reading your Bibles? Do they see you praying? Do they see you making a priority to come to church? Do they see you pouring yourself out in servitude to Christ? Do they see you worshiping on Sunday mornings? Do they see you coming in and greeting people with the love of Christ that's inside you? They need to see that. They're watching everything that we do. Our children are watching everything. What do they see when you and your spouse are arguing? Do they see you go in and slam the door and not talk for 4 days? Or do they see you come back and one of you say, you know what, I was wrong. In humility, I'm sorry. Do they see a biblical reconciliation? They need to see that in every aspect of our lives. Do you ask them to forgive you when you lose your cool on them? Surely I'm not the only parent in here that's done that. It's tough. It's hard. But because of what God has done for us, and we have to pour this out. And I'm going to tell you, it all starts with your relationship with Christ. It starts with your relationship with Christ, because if that foundation's off, none of this other stuff that we're going to be building is not going to work right. So we have to make sure that this is right. I love what Jesus said in Luke 6. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Friends, what do you treasure the most? Where is your treasure? In your home, is Bible reading important? Is loving God a priority? Is prayer, not just praying over a meal. I mean, we have a blessing in children. The kids that God has given us, what a blessing they are. I mean, Scripture talks about children being a blessing. They're arrows in the quiver. Now listen, I get sometimes they can be a thorn in our side. I get it. I get it. But regardless how joyful your kids are, how sometimes they can get on your nerves, I get it. God's given them to you. I'll never forget when Lily was born, or right before Lily was born, I was talking to my youth pastor's wife, and she was just encouraging me. I was out of student ministry, but this was way past that. But he was still my youth pastor, he was a mentor, and we were talking, and she said, you know, when she is born, it will be the weirdest thing, the wildest thing. You're going to want to hold on to her like this. You're going to want to hold on to her so tight and protect her from everything and anything. You're going to want to do this so much. But Ryan, I want to encourage you, you need to hold her like this. I was like, what? Hold her like this? What are you talking about? She's my kid. She said, no, God has entrusted you with her for a short season. She's God's first. I broke down. To think about, especially now having an 18-year-old, man, those days are long, right? Those years are short. And all the time that I look back and I'm going, man, did I put Jesus in the forefront of every conversation, in the forefront of our homes, in my home? He's trusted me with this. Did I handle this correctly? I want you to think the same. I want you to do this. I mean, when we think about this gift of children, these gifts that we have, we want them to love the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their might. We need that too. So moms and dads, grandparents, guardians, do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might? Because we know that our kids need that help. God knew that. That's why he gave us this text. That we remind them of that over and over and over and over and over and over. Everywhere you go, you're going to hear that a lot. You're going to repeat this. We want you to repeat this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, might. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. So we need to do this. Well, how do we do this? Well, I think really, really quickly in the remaining time, do this in three ways. Number one, just spiritually. If we were to look at this spiritually, that Jesus needs to be the number one in our homes. He needs to be the number one in their lives. He needs to be the number one in their life. And we have to help them. We have to bring them to that spot. They need training in this. They need to see that Jesus is in the forefront, above friends, above social media, above academics, above sports, that Jesus is number one in the spot, in the home, in their lives. I mean, intentionally or unintentionally, I think some parents miss this cross-shaped hole that they were born with in their hearts, and we try to fill other things in that hole. The only thing that fits in a cross-shaped hole is what? That's it, a cross. And so they were born into sin. Romans talks about that. We're all sinners. They need a Savior, and we need to be the ones that are pointing into this. I mean, there's so many kids that are involved in sports and arts, and it's not a bad thing to get them trained up and send them to a coach that knows way more than we do. You know, we send them to a professional, and we hand them off, and they teach them. Too many times in the years of ministry that I've been in, that happens in the church as well. I don't know a lot. We'll just hand them to the professional preachers. They're professional disciples. Let me tell you, parent, that's not our role. It's your role. Your role as a parent is to be the discipler, primary discipler of our kids. We must point them. We must point them to Christ first. So that's we've got to fill that spiritual need. But not that. Not only that, their emotional need. Man, our kids are emotional, aren't they? I mean emotional, up and down. One minute they're laughing, then one minute they're crying. I don't know what. Sometimes I'm like, I don't get it. I got to walk away. They get mad because we don't have what they want for dinner. They open the fridge. We have no food. All of it's packed. Like, I don't get it. All they want to do is be on their phones. Hey, try this next time you're at a restaurant. Just if your kids get up and your phone, they leave their phone on the table, take it. Get in the car and watch them freak over the next few minutes. Mom, I left my phone. I don't know where it is. I'm sorry. What do you mean, sorry? It's on the table. We got to go back. No, I don't know. Watch them freak out. You'll see what's most important to them and pull it out. It's right here. They're emotional creatures. We got a point. Let me just time out. Your kid doesn't need a phone, by the way. They don't have, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. We'll talk about that in a second. I got ahead of myself, but listen. We need to bestow grace on our kids when they freak, when they're emotional creatures. I love what Tim Kimmel said in Grace-Based Parenting. Because God bestows his grace on us, we must do the same for our children. We must do that. We have to. But we can't just meet their physical need or their emotional and spiritual need. We need to meet their physical need as well. That doesn't mean we buy them the newest shoes on the drop, the newest thing. No, food, shelter, clothing. Anything outside of that is a blessing. Parents, we must provide those things. Now, your kid doesn't need a phone. They don't. Oh, did we? Listen, how many of you grew up with a cell phone? Adults? Wow, look around. None of you. And we made it. A phone's a blessing. You take care of their physical needs, food, shelter, clothing, point them to Christ through those things. Listen, God has a plan for our lives. He wants us as parents to put him in the center of our households, and that's what we're going to be talking about. Some of us have done that. Some of us have failed at it. Some of us are works in progress, and I would say that's probably most of us. The beauty of it is you're not alone. We want to come alongside you. We want to help you out in this. We want to continue to pour into you. That's why we have resources. This series, Habits of the Household, was taken from a book. If you don't have that book, we have them outside today. $10. We've helped supplement the cost because we believe in this so much, because we want your households to have a firm foundation of God. We want that for you. We want to be able to pray over you. We want to be able to walk alongside you. Maybe today you're like, man, I'm just in a struggle spot and I need some prayer. Would you pray for me? Listen, we're going to worship here in a moment. We're going to worship the Lord through song. At the end of that song, we're going to have some deacons down front. RC's going to be down front. If you need some prayer, if you want to help kind of talk through this, I'm going to be in the back. Let's talk through this. But don't leave here thinking, I'm all alone in this. You're not. I promise you, you're not. Hear, O Israel. You know what? It was singular in name, but he was talking to a nation. Hear, O Stewart's Creek. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. And we worship him today. God, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it's alive and it's living and it's active. God, the only way we're going to build biblical households, the only way we're going to be able to practically work this out in our lives is to put you as the firm foundation. Anything that we put on top of this, God, will be off. It will be off center. It will fall down. God, today, would you encourage those moms and dads who are really wanting to put you in the forefront of their lives and their families' lives? God, would you encourage the moms and dads who are struggling with this? Would you remind them that there's hope in Christ? And that, God, you have a plan for them. But first, it starts with us. And so, Lord, as we sing, as we worship, Lord, would you truly build our lives to you? There's no one else. There's no other thing that can satisfy like you, King Jesus. So, Lord, encourage our hearts to be more like your Son, God. Lord, we love you. We worship you. Praise you today, because you are God. You are Elohim. You are the one true God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Let's continue in worship. Would you stand together? Maybe you just take the first few moments of the song and pray. Ask the Lord to minister to your heart. Afterwards, maybe you want to come and pray with one of us. Please do. Don't leave this place. If you're struggling, if you need some help, we need someone to walk with you, don't leave without letting us know. We want to do that with you. Let's continue in worship.